Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Our thanks to this week's sponsor, Montrose of Soham, Cambridgeshire.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla, producing single rose-like flowers continually from June to the first frost. All are very easy.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to exchange some news, views, a bit of seasonal advice, and hopefully answer some of your gardening quandaries along the way. Burning the midnight fuel a bit, I'm afraid, this week. And for my diary, there's rather a lot going on. I've got my mind set on Monday week, when hopefully I'll return to a more normal work pattern. Last weekend, most of the time was spent in the home garden with my landscaper John's help, getting the lawns mown and edged, a number of weedy beds tidied, some overgrown shrubs pruned back, and more of the container plants repotted, watered, fed. So, I mean, it begins to look as if someone still lives here again, but I'm afraid things might slip back a bit over the next 10 or 14 days. I have had time to keep picking runner beans, eating some too, freezing quite a lot, and then giving even more away. Just one row of runner beans. Goodness, it can be absolutely prodigious in the beans that are there for the picking. The same with a cordon apple scrumptious. It's yielded bags of fruit. A lovely early red-skinned apple, well, red-skinned where the sun gets at them, with some of the flesh quite pink under that skin if it does get a good lot of sunlight. It's a good, reliable garden cultivar, but it is early and needs eating fresh at this time of the year. You know, it's a real juice dribbler, that one. Don't forget the name, apple scrumptious. Floral fantasia, I'm afraid, is still taking time. And last weekend, as well as looking after my own garden, I spent best part of 3 hours watering. Goodness, things do dry out quick when they've got a lot of leaf. But luckily, there was quite a bit of rain fell on Tuesday. Not that that was welcome, with an absolute downpour as I drove to Ipswich to check the Chelsea Show Verbena and then on to Glee, the trade, garden and leisure exhibition at the NEC in Birmingham. This important trade show has been postponed twice and the organisers did a good job to pull this off at last. There were less nursery exhibits in the atrium. A number of wholesale growers of trees, shrubs and roses pretty well sold out for 2022, and so they saw no need to promote their wares. In fact, it could cause some aggravation with the demand being greater than supply in some cases. It's going to be a very interesting year next year. Who knows? I mean, the weather dictates everything, and if the spring's cold and damp, well, then the trade will be dampened too. In those cavernous exhibition halls, there was quite a buzz on the first day, with people pleased to meet up at last. A number of the exhibitors had cut back on stand design and the overall costs of exhibiting. In some cases, they had less staff, which, of course, reduces the travel and the hotel bills. It's a very interesting, and perhaps if I look back almost overdue, some of the big commercial companies, I think, spend perhaps a bit too much on their exhibition stands. But that certainly wasn't the case this year. going through the area of new products, there wasn't very much, I thought. It looked as if over the last 2 years, people's energies had been directed at just maintaining supply and keeping all those new gardeners equipped with plants and materials. There were two new models of secateurs under the Kent and Stowe brand that handled very well, and I'll be pleased to give those a try. They have, I don't know whether it was a wooden veneer on the handles or just wood look-alike, but they were a very interesting design, and I'm pleased to report, made in Britain, actually in Milton Keynes, I think. At the end of Tuesday, and quite a hard day, then I met up with Neil Gow, and he had the chrysanthemum poppins that had been grown at the Pershore High School. And so we did a swap, and I came home surrounded by chrysanthemums. There was hardly room to move, but there we are. Oh, I must mention too, at the Glee exhibition, we spoke to Nick Fielding about his Bloomin' Amazing. We interviewed him on the podcast a little while back. He has the digestate from anaerobic biofuel. They use grasses and maize and things to rot down, generate methane, which can be used to burn to generate electricity. And then the digestate that's left after this decomposition is a very good soil improver. But alongside Blooming Amazing, there was another 5,000-acre farm in Somerset that has also entered this arena, producing enough gas for 8,000 homes. And they provide three strengths of potting compost. It's sold under the Rocket Grow brand, and there's the multi-purpose Garden Gold, which is the equivalent really of John Innes Seed or John Innes One, about that sort of strength. And then there's Black Gold for larger containers, which is a fertilizer strength up to about John Innes Number Three. And then the strongest of all, Magic Mulch, naturally for mulching. And this is the richest of all, too rich really to use as a potting compost. And all of them have a slow-release organic plant food that lasts for about 10 weeks. My local church has cleared some woodland and is looking for advice on converting to a bluebell and primrose delight. I think that might take a bit of achieving before we've done, but while I was at Glee, I did drop by on the Johnson's Lawn Seed stand. They were most helpful, and not surprising, have a special mixture for sowing under trees. And they also told me that it's quite likely that our church could get a government grant to help with the cost of seed. And apparently we have to look at the CAP reform scheme for woodland. You just need to keep talking to people, and who knows what little gems you can unearth. As to news events, well, from my point of view, apart from Glee, Chelsea show next week is all-encompassing when it comes to news and events. I thought that late September would be easy. All of those lovely summer flowers in all their glory and just the first shades of autumn. But in practice, we had those 5 or 6 days with 90 degree Fahrenheit temperature, and it really burnt out the summer crops. You know, in May, you can use a bit of heat under glass and push things forward, and as the days lengthen, the growth strengthens. At this time of the year, of course, it's all in reverse. The day length is shortening. There's quite heavy dews, so you can very easily get a bit of botrytis, soft rot on flowers. And it really is proving, I think, very difficult to have show blooms and show quality the last week in September. Had the show been the first week in September, I think that would have been a lot easier for a number of us. I have my fingers crossed that Bowls of Nemesha will hold out. I mean, I went to Wisley on Wednesday this week for the last of the assessment of the Nemesha trial there. Most of the cultivars are pretty well burned out now. Six plants have been cut back, and some cultivars are regrowing after that cut back, and it looks as if they could look pretty reasonable in 2 or 3 weeks' time. But generally speaking, I'm afraid the summer bedding, particularly Nemesha, are losing their shine very rapidly now. And of course, it'll be time to strip out and bring in the autumn bedding, chrysanthemums, autumn flowering pansies and violas, all that kind of stuff. Listeners' questions. Well, a number of you with tomato plants are asking me about blight. Even some heritage kinds under glass in Yorkshire being grown for Chelsea have succumbed to this debilitating disease. It needs humid, warm conditions for blight fungus spores to germinate, and usually leaves can be kept dry under glass to avoid attack. But of course, we have had some pretty humid sort of days, and it's certainly warm enough. The tomato variety Rubylicious is green, healthy and cropping well in my polytunnel, which has been kept too dry, I have to admit. It's been so busy doing other things that they haven't really been watered and fed as much as they should, but that should improve the flavour. But my neighbour next door had tomatoes outside and they've been absolutely wiped out. I don't think that they'll pick a good ripe fruit. What to do? Well, when it comes to blight, there are several things. If you just see one or two spots infecting leaves, pick those off immediately. Don't leave them to spread, whatever you do. But if you do miss it, and within 24 hours sometimes, the disease can really rattle across a plant. Where the lesions have spread to stems, well, then your best bet is to cut off all the trusses of fruit that are both colouring and green. Take them indoors where they'll get dry pretty quick and store dry alongside some ripe fruit. Ripe bananas are particularly good, but any of the fruits that are ripening release ethylene gas, and this speeds the ripening of tomatoes quite a bit. Actually, if you've got them on the truss and they are disease-free, then in a cardboard box or in a drawer, they will very slowly ripen. Pretty well through to December, even to Christmas, I've had them slowly ripening. They tend to lose quality, of course. They don't taste quite so good, but they'll certainly be edible for 2 or 3 months. The other thing you need to do, of course, is to trawl the catalogues and seek out blight-resistant cultivars. There are quite a number now. They won't be immune, but they will give a fair bit of protection from blight disease spread. If you have a question, a query or a comment about plants in the garden, well then write to us at thisweekinthegarden@gmail.com. I'm afraid I haven't had much time to organise interviews this week, but I did catch a word with Francesca Ablett, who won the David Colgrave Foundation Student Research Grant. It was rather noisy in the NEC atrium with all the activity for Glee. But this is what Francesca had to say about her grant. I'm very pleased to introduce to the podcast today Francesca Ablett, who has been quite fortunate, I think one could say, in receiving bursaries from the David Colgrave Foundation. Now, Francesca, I think you're a bit interested in plant breeding and that kind of thing, but could you tell us what you're doing, you know, what your current courses are, and how the David Colgrave Foundation has helped you?
Absolutely, I'd be happy to. So I just graduated from the University of Leeds, and I did a degree in biological sciences. But during this, I specialised in plants and agriculture. the kind of the people that I was surrounded by weren't really focused on horticulture. It was more a focus on agriculture. But as a quite a keen gardener, I really wanted to get more into that, this side of it. So I applied for the Horticultural Research Scholarship offered by the David Kilgrave Foundation, and I was fortunate to receive this. With the money that I received, some of it has gone towards meeting new people in the industry. So under the influence of Tim Curley and Neil Gow, meeting people from all sorts of different nurseries, where we've had conversations about breeding, the cultivars that they've been introducing. Also in production, so I went to Borden Hill Nurseries, and that was really enlightening, so I haven't seen anything like that before.
I mean, Borden Nurseries is quite a large scale, and I'm interested in the way that they recycle water and are watching all those sustainability things. Did that open your eyes a bit to what was going on in the industry?
Absolutely, yes. Yeah. So they had the sort of biofilters that used kind of just things like nettles that grew up from a large, I think it was a 12-foot tank. So all the wastewater went into there, and that was filtered into the River Avon. And I think it was said that the water that goes back in is actually cleaner than what's in there already. So that was good to see. And then I also saw that they'd improved the bed into sort of a vertical stacked one, which is a lot more space efficient. So that was good to see. And then I also saw I think they call it the bio bed, that piece of technology in Ashwood's Nurseries when I visited there. So it was good to see that that sort of spreading across the industry.
And you spent a little time, I think, with the Curley family actually crossing petunias. I mean, does this paintbrush pollinating, does that fascinate you?
So I'm actually going to, tomorrow and the day after for the begonia pollination. I wasn't able to go for the petunia one. I unfortunately had COVID, so missed the window for that one. But I do like petunias. I'm actually doing a bit of a research project with them, looking at the potential gene editing that can be used to kind of surpass the traditional paintbrush pollination. So I was quite disappointed that I missed that, but hopefully later this week I can, with the begonias, see the kind of similar things. So my research project, it's a literature review. It's still in its infancy, I think, but it's looking at the new CRISPR-Cas9 technology, which can save a lot of time through the traditional pollination and breeding to speed up the process. I think there's still some concerns over the regulations with it. I think in the wake of Brexit, it's still becoming a thing here, but it definitely has a lot of potential, I think.
Thanks very much, Francesca. I hope you'll keep in touch with us, and we wish you every success in the future.
Thank you very much. It's been lovely speaking to you.
Any students listening, or if you know young people that are looking for financial support as they set out for horticultural education, log on to the DCF, the David Kilgrave Foundation website, and there you'll find a whole series of bursaries are on offer for quite a range of scholarships and grants. And my tailpiece, well, a quote from David Hobson: gardening and laughing are two of the best things in life you can do to promote good health and a sense of well-being. I could not agree more.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And I think there'll be a fair few smiles with luck as the Chelsea Flower Show family meet up over the coming few days. More news of that week when we get back on air to speak to you next week. Our thanks to this week's sponsor, Montrose of Soham, Cambridgeshire, to my producer, Rich Sharman, and of course to you for listening.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla, producing single rose-like flowers continually from June to the first frost. All are very easy to grow in any garden, but the best results are obtained in light of well-drained soil. The best flower in the present does it for some. The best part of shade is for the reason. No regular pruning is necessary. As we go, we'll be maintained. If all of the branches are cut down to ground level in spring.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.